What does leadership really look like? On The Power of Advice, a new podcast series from Capital Group, you'll hear from athletes, entrepreneurs, and executives who've led on the field, in the boardroom, and in their communities. It's not about titles. It's about impact. Discover what drives them and the advice they carry forward. Subscribe and start listening today. Published by Capital Client Group, Inc.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Welcome.
Touchdown, Georgia.
Now, here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter, Drew Butler.
I'm your host, Drew Butler, leader in the country in punts 49-plus. See if he booms this one. He does. Wow.
And Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, and SEC Championship-winning quarterback, Jake Fromm.
Lee Flicker to get the night started. Downfield looking for Godwin.
Now, with the latest from around the world of the SEC and college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Texas, a lot of people all down. Of course, a bunch of news out of Athens as Georgia is now active in the transfer portal. Their season is over. We'll touch on the tragedy that happened with the Coach Kirby Smart family right after the Sugar Bowl, which is just tragic. Before we get to that, though, good news, Jake Fromm and the Detroit Lions, they won on Sunday night. They are your NFC North champions. They are also the number one seed in the NFC, getting a bye week and home field advantage. Go Lions, go. What's up, Jake?
Hey, man, good news definitely coming out of Detroit. Winning that game against the Vikings there in Week 18 was huge. Number one seed, home field advantage. Vibes are good. Gives us a week to, you know, get everybody's body right and get a few guys maybe possibly back for this divisional round. So, man, we're pumped. And, man, just can't wait to kind of figure out who we play and get this thing rolling.
Yeah, it's a really fun time to sit at home as the playoffs are starting while you're still in the playoffs. There's no doubt about that. News breaking today. I'm not going to ask you to disclose anything, but news breaking through your NFL insiders that David Montgomery, running back for the Lions, should be back for their divisional round game, which of course is next weekend. So, hey, I say it every week. We're all invested Lions fans here. Congrats to you. Congrats to the whole team. My man, Brett Fisher as well. Shout out to Fish. I'm rooting for the Lions. I think most of America is, which is really cool. And also what I find really cool is that you and I both have played ourselves into a bye week in the NFL playoffs. The Arizona Cardinals did it back in 2015. We were the two seed, so we got to sit at home, hang out, and watch who we were going to play, which is always exciting. I can't think of any other podcast. I really can't. I thought about this for a while today. I can't think of any other podcast where the hosts have both earned bye weeks in the NFL playoffs. Jake, can you?
No, I definitely can't. So, hey, just another reason to come on down, get a different perspective of what we can offer. Yeah. So, man, I think it's cool, man. We're just part of a different subset group of people, and definitely blessed and very humbled to be a part of that group.
Amen to that. And, you know, am I saying that to say that we're better, we're smarter, we have greater perspective than any other college football or football podcast out there because of our past successes in the NFL? You bet your ass I'm saying that. Of course I'm saying that. Obviously I'm saying that. So the proof is in the pudding. Let's dive right in to the college football news. Before that, though, major shout out to our presenting sponsor, of course, that is Salomon Brothers Jewelers. Salomon Brothers Jewelers, check them out on social media at Salomon Brothers on X and Instagram, SolomonBrothers.com. Three amazing locations for you to choose from. And why would you go to Salomon Brothers? Because it is simply the best jewelry store in Atlanta. They have three amazing locations for you to choose from. You know them by now. The OG, 17th floor, Tower Place in Buckhead. One right here in Alpharetta at the Avalon. I'll be right over in that area here in about an hour and a half. And then, of course, the brand new location down south of the city in Sharpsburg. Solomon Brothers is unmatched when it comes to customer satisfaction and in-store experience. And, of course, your diamond and jewelry's selection. I'm telling you right now, head on over to Solomon Brothers. It's the new year. It's 2025. You want to start the new year off on the right foot. Get something for your significant other. Take them to Solomon Brothers. Enjoy a nice craft cocktail while you're walking around a beautiful showroom. Turn the TV on to a sports game. Sit back and let the amazing staff at Solomon Brothers take care of you and yours. SolomonBrothers.com, at Solomon Brothers on social media. When you mention Punt and Pass while you're in store, you can get 20% off your jewelry purchase. We love Solomon Brothers. Let us know how those Solomon Brothers visits are going. We've gotten some really good feedback so far. So we love Solomon Brothers, SolomonBrothers.com. Jake, as I said, some tragic news breaking over the weekend in regards to Coach Kirby Smart's father, Sonny Smart, tragically passing away after taking a bad fall in New Orleans. He fractured his hip. He's obviously of older age. I believe he was just shy of 80. Went into surgery, and as sad as it is, when you go under in anesthesia and you're that old, I've had family members of mine, sometimes you don't come out, and it sounds like there was some complications with that surgery, and my heart breaks for Coach Kirby Smart. That's got to be one of the toughest days of your life, losing your dad. Sonny Smart was always around the program. Jake, I'm sure you had plenty of interactions with him, so I would love to kind of have you tell a couple of stories or your thoughts and memories of Sonny Smart, what he meant to Kirby, what he meant to the Georgia program. Rest in peace to Sonny Smart, and prayers to Kirby and the entire Smart family.
Yeah, man, just an absolutely just terrible news. I remember Sonny being around Kirby like all the time, you know, kind of always being there, especially on game day. You could just tell Kirby loved having him around. You know, Mr. Sonny loved being around. And, man, he just kind of picked everybody up and – man, just really enjoyed spending time with him and getting kind of a different kind of side and perspective of Coach Smart, right? You get to kind of see son Coach Smart instead of Coach Smart. So it was definitely great and unique to get that different perspective. And man, just Hades gone. Just another reminder of how precious life is, and just how surgery can be no joke. You never know when your time is up, and just another reason to treat every single day like it's your last, and try to do some good in the world.
No, you're totally right. And I would imagine that a lot of our listeners have had to experience tragedy just like that. You know, my grandpa, my dad's dad, he passed away October 12th of 2023, you know, and he was at the age, and he was in congestive heart failure, to where if he had any situations, you know, surgery was the last case scenario that you wanted to go through, because he wasn't going to be able to handle it. You know, it just sucks. It's just the worst. And it's so cool that Kirby got the opportunity to have his dad around so much at Georgia. There's nothing better than that. I'm very blessed that my dad's one of my best friends. You know, I moved back to Georgia to be around my family, my wife's family. We wanted our kids to grow up around their grandparents. Like, those are the decisions that you make. I know we're kind of getting deep, but those are the decisions that you make to figure out how you want to raise your kids and who you want them to be around. Have you seen the viral clip of Jerry Jones on Landman? Do you watch Landman, the new Taylor Sheridan show with Billy Bob Thornton and John Hamm talking about the oil and gas industry out in Texas? Have you seen this clip, Jake?
No, I know the clip that you're talking about. I've seen it come up. I hadn't clicked on it and watched the entire thing. Landman, we haven't gotten around to watching that show yet. We were in the middle of finishing a different show, Suits. Okay. It's kind of
into the Suits.
Deep in the Suits. We've lost a little, just a little bit of interest. And so we're searching. We're searching for that new thing. Watched a movie last night. But man, we are searching for that new show. So maybe Landman might be up next for us.
Yeah, I don't know. I have to check with Jackie if that would be of interest to her. But it's getting this clip is getting rave reviews. Jerry Jones makes a cameo. Obviously, he made all his money in oil and gas and real estate and leasing. And of course, then he purchased the Dallas Cowboys. And he's doing this scene, Jake, and he's talking to John Hamm. I don't watch the show, so I don't know why John Hamm is in a hospital bed. Looks like he's in pretty bad shape. But Jerry Jones talks about why he bought the Cowboys. Why did I buy the Cowboys? Because I wanted to work with my kids. That's what he says. And he's going through this like very, very heartfelt speech about, hey, when it's my day, I want to be surrounded by my kids because I did this for them. I want to work with them. I want to spend my life with them. You know, and the feedback that he's getting from the public or the viewership of Landman is that he wasn't acting. You know, like he was just saying this from his heart, and it turned out very powerful because he's just talking about his life experience. And somebody even said today, look at John Hamm and Billy Bob Thornton in this scene because they're attached to what Jerry Jones is saying. You can kind of see it going through their head of like, wow, this is really sage advice from somebody who's been there, done that, and has kind of created his life around wanting to spend time around his kids. So I just found that to be very interesting. I'll post it on social media. You can go check it out at Drew Butler, at Punt and Pass. But pretty cool stuff, to be honest.
Yeah, man, I love you coming full circle back around on that. That's so cool. But man, you're exactly right. Man, family is so important. Being able to work, you know, kind of either with your dad or with your kids, that's definitely something to think about, and to definitely kind of have high on the priority list. So definitely something I'll be thinking about moving forward.
I'll take a wild guess to say, whenever your football career is done, hopefully it's 15 years from now, that you'll probably be living back in the state of Georgia. Is that a fair guess?
Yeah, that's 110%.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. All right, so some better news out of Athens is that Georgia, now their season is over, of course, and for a while there, they were the only team that hadn't taken a transfer out of the transfer portal. Well, it looks like they saved the best for last, and since their season's over, Kirby Smart has been hitting the ground running. And the entire staff, I'm assuming, understands what they need to do to kind of get back to the mountaintop. And, buddy, they've addressed it in spades. The first big-time news break out of the transfer portal for Georgia was them getting the Branch brothers out of Southern Cal to transfer to the University of Georgia, headlined by Zachariah Branch, a former five-star wide receiver, and his brother Zion Branch, who's a safety. They've committed. They've signed to Georgia. You put the tape on this Zachariah Branch kid, Jake. He is an absolute speedster, kind of shades of Mecole Hardman. And I would go out there to say he might even be faster and a little bit more explosive than Mecole, which is kind of crazy to say.
Yeah, man, for sure. Anybody that gets compared to Mecole, definitely know is very explosive and very dynamic. I think you can see early in this transfer portal that there's a lot of urgency and a lot of urgency to get good skill players. I mean, you kind of take, for example, Ohio State and Jeremiah Smith and what he's doing right now, kind of what Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, Amon-Ra St. Brown, or what these guys are doing in the NFL, man, being able to have a dynamic receiver and these explosive dynamic skill positions, man, increases your chance of winning dramatically and really helps your offense and creates space for quarterbacks. I think that's something I took for granted playing quarterback, especially in 2018, was how much space the defense gave us because we had Mecole and his speed on the field. So definitely kind of saw safeties get a little bit lower, coverage get a little bit tighter there in 2019 when you just didn't have as much speed on the field.
Yeah, if I put my scouting cap on, what I found most exciting about a guy like Zachariah Branch is for his size, his speed, his explosiveness. He really doesn't mess around. He gets north and south fast, and especially on special teams plays, something that Mecole did really well is that he put his foot on the ground on punt returns, and he got up the field because he understood that the coverage team was screaming down the field. You go east and west, you give those guys the opportunity to gain leverage. Zachariah Branch, watch his tape. That dude covers ground fast. It's really, really good to see that he utilizes his skill set in that manner, and I think he'll plug and play very well at Georgia. When you look at like what the Lions have, we'll stick on that. Amon-Ra St. Brown, he is very, very tough over the middle. He gets north and south, puts his head down. Jameson Williams, one of the fastest guys, dynamic out of the backfield, motions. You know that when he's on the field, those safeties are going to have to stay back for sure. And then you've got even taller guys. Who's the dude that came on number 12? Is it 12?
17, Tim Patrick.
Yeah, Tim Patrick. He came on late as well. Like one of those guys, third down, very reliable, kind of get him near the chain, throw him a back shoulder. He'll certainly use his body. And that goes into the other transfer that Georgia got, a guy who's tried and true in the SEC, Noah Thomas, former five-star receiver, transferring in from Texas A&M. I think he had 8 receiving touchdowns a year ago at Texas A&M. He's 6'6", Jake. I mean, They're putting the skill position players. They're addressing exactly what they needed last year in the portal. And they're saying, we're going to make sure that our quarterbacks have some real deal threats to throw to.
Yeah, man, for sure. Being able to have these two different kind of guys, man, there is a different need for all these different body types. When you're, an offensive coordinator, like, hey, who can I put where to get this matchup and this guy here? And being able to have all those different guys at your disposal, man, it's huge. It allows you to do a lot of different things on offense. Like you said, he had 8 receiving touchdowns. Being able to have that bigger body in the red zone, that's huge. That's a plus. Give somebody else an opportunity to kind of throw them a high ball, different routes on the back line. So, man, you're just opening up the playbook and giving yourselves more opportunities to succeed and get first downs. And that's the name of the game.
Yeah. And great news as well on some guys who have decided to come back to Athens for their final year or their remaining eligibility or not transfer. Dylan Bell. I love Dylan's versatility in the offense. I thought at points he could have been used a little bit more throughout the season. He is returning, and his brother Micah Bell is transferring in as well. Micah spent 2024 at Vanderbilt. He transferred to Vandy from Notre Dame. So Dylan will have some creature comforts in Athens as well. Micah Bell comes. Georgia won a recruiting battle for Adrian Maddox, who is a transfer safety from UAB, Alabama, Birmingham. It was reported that he was heavy on Florida. Georgia comes in, scoops him up at the last minute, so another win there. And then Christian Miller, a leader, a guy with tons of experience. He's returning to Athens on the defensive line, and I got to give a shout-out to my man Brett Thorson, the punter, who tore his ACL on a non-contact injury in the SEC championship game, an absolute weapon for Georgia. Hell, I think Brett might be 30 years old now, but who cares? He's back. That'll be great. I hope his knee recovery goes well. You need to go check out the announcement he made. He made an edit of one of my favorite and one of the most underrated movies of all time, The Other Guys. With Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell. Him and Peyton Woodring were superimposed onto the faces of The Rock and Samuel L. Jackson, and he said, I'm coming back. So good news out of Georgia. The vibes are pretty good. Let's hope these guys stay out of trouble this offseason, knock on wood. And let's start looking towards 2025, Jake.
Yeah, I mean, I really like those three guys specifically coming back. Obviously, Brett on special teams, Dylan Bell and Christian Miller on defense. Man, I like Dylan Bell coming back. I think he would be honest with you and tell you, hey, this is not the season I dreamed of having here this past season. Man, being able to have that experience under his belt, come back into an offense that he knows. I think for him, it's just about getting his confidence early, getting back to work, getting back to the technique and the fundamentals. Man, I really expect kind of big things for this young man moving forward, and a little bit of competition in that room never hurts.
Yeah. Okay, to kind of put a bow on this, Jaden Rashada transferred out. Gunnar Stockton, obviously, Jake, you gave him his roses after the Sugar Bowl. I said he looked fearless. He obviously was slinging that thing. The moment was not too big for him. Is Georgia going to address the quarterback in the transfer portal? Are they riding with Gunnar Stockton, Ryan Puglisi, a guy that I've seen in person? He is huge. Certainly has some mobility if you go back and watch some of his tape. Are they set in the QB room, or would you think that they maybe take some, calls in? Because obviously I don't know if they're out really searching for one at the moment.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's a very good question. Kirby is obviously never opposed to getting more competition into a room. I really wouldn't be surprised with more of a surefire dual threat guy. At the very least, honestly, just to have on the team to give a good scout team look versus all the different kinds of guys that they play throughout the season at bare minimum. So I would kind of be on the lookout for that, but I think he's got to feel confident in Gunner and the way he played, and then having a pretty solid plan B in Puglisi, who looks to be very promising and has all the tools and the attributes that you would want in a very, very good college quarterback.
No doubt. All right, staying in Athens for one more quick second, got a shout-out to the Hoop Dogs, Georgia, on Tuesday night. Whooped up on 6th-ranked Kentucky in Stegman. They beat the Wildcats 82-69 for their second Tier 1 or Quad 1 win of the season. They beat top 25-ranked St. John's in a tournament that I think was down in the Bahamas over Thanksgiving, I believe it was. They dropped the game at Ole Miss, and I'm sure a lot of Georgia fans were like, oh no, here we go, SEC schedule, this is when we go away. But Mike White and the boys, they showed out great on Tuesday night. So the Dogs get a big time win over a top 10 ranked Kentucky team. The SEC, Jake, I'm not sure if you've turned too much attention to SEC basketball at the moment, but historically, it is one of the best conferences this season in the history of college football.
Yeah, man, that's incredible. This is a huge statement win. You know, I'm pretty optimistic about this, and maybe that there's a lot of parallels back to 2017 Georgia playing Notre Dame. We get that signature win on the road. Maybe this is kind of that statement win that really turns things around. And watch out, man, Georgia might be a powerhouse in the basketball realm here moving forward.
That would be sweet. I've always said, like, my perfect case scenario for Georgia to be a tournament team, right? Something that they're playing for in February, early March, right? Not only on the bubble, but like, hey, we're going to the tournament. You know, I live 50 miles from Athens. How fun would it be? And I think I'm going to get this opportunity here in the next 6 weeks or so to just text some buddies and say, hey, meet up at this parking lot at 4. We're going down to Athens. We're going to catch an early dinner, walk into Stegman, watch a sweet hoops game, and then be back at home by 10. That sounds like a pretty fun afternoon. So I think Josh Brooks, Mike White, and John Bateman, the whole crew over in Athens, are getting the Hoop Dogs of high interest to a lot of Georgia fans in Metro Atlanta and all over. So shout out to them for sure. Okay, I got one more thing. I'm going to put you on the spot here. It just popped up onto my feed, and I have to mention it. I've talked a lot about Kirk Herbstreit this past season for obvious reasons. The Dog, some of his Twitter back and forth, some of his outspoken opinions, which I love, some of his non-outspoken opinions when he's like, you know what, I can't say anything. Florida State killed me. I don't even want to say. Well, look, when you're getting paid $10 million a year, I need you to give me something for sure. He was on a podcast on the On3 Network the other day. They were talking about SEC bias. They were talking about, you know, do you hear what the public says when they're saying ESPN and ABC are only rooting for SEC teams, or the college football playoff is all about getting SEC teams in? And he said, look, from a viewership standpoint, these four teams that are in the semifinals, like, best case scenario for ESPN, ABC. I would agree with him on that. Notre Dame, huge national power. Ohio State, largest alumni and fan base, I believe, in the country. Penn State, which is a monster up in the Northeast. And then, of course, Texas, which I think has the second largest operating athletic budget right behind Ohio State. He was like, guys, I don't care who you are. These are four of the best teams that we could have possibly wanted. So I agree with Kirk there. Then they start talking to him about social media. Okay. And he's like, look, I deleted social media a long time ago. I don't even do that. And I was like, what? Because all I see on social media is Kirk Herbstreit posting his dog. Of course, people are taking pictures of him. All I see on social media is Kirk Herbstreit going back and forth with fans, like literally getting into arguments, quote tweeting fans, answering their questions, getting into heated debates. He goes, yeah, I deleted Twitter a long time ago. I don't deal with that. Somebody runs it for me. My son posts it for me. Huh? Okay, so your son, Kirk Herbstreit, your son is getting into Twitter fights with random fans under your moniker at Kirk Herbstreit, and you're just allowing it to happen. Jake, that does not pass the smell test for me, myself, Drew Butler. It doesn't. Man, that stinks out loud, dude. Come on.
That stinks so bad. And I want to be able to sit here and defend it. You know, I talked to Kirk, you know, we played on Thursday night, you know, weeks ago. I got a good relationship with Kirk, like Kirk a lot.
Of course.
But, dude, this ain't – there's no way that this is true. There is no way. Like you said, there's no way of you being a media personality like yourself and allowing
– an A-lister, an absolute A-lister. Yes.
Like one of the top three guys in the profession.
I think that's very fair to say, yes.
And allow your son to do stuff on social media and get into it with fans about. So there's just no way. I just, dude, you gotta own this one. He's trying to, I don't know.
So here's the quote, I deleted Twitter a long time ago. I don't have it. Herbstreit explained, quote, I just have a buddy. My son tweets stuff out. It's ridiculous. I don't read anything. I don't see anything, nothing. End quote.
That's,
I don't know, Jake. I mean, look, my dad, you know, my dad, My dad's on the Georgia Bulldog Radio Network. If I was under my dad's Twitter handle getting into fights with people, my dad would say, cut the shit. Stop doing that. You're not doing that. I think it's crazy. I can't believe he said that. I mean, do I give him the benefit of the doubt, or do I look at previous examples of his social media and think to myself, this is somebody else tweeting at Kirk Herbstreit? I don't know, Jake.
I don't know. We can do some more digging, but like you said, it's just not passing the smell test to me. I just wish you just hadn't have said anything that, hey, yeah, it's fun sometimes, yada, yada, and move on. And that's it. But no, this ain't it to me, coach.
Okay. Well, you know, look, and I'm a huge Kirk Herbstreit fan. I mean, I think he's awesome on TV. I think he's great on College Game Day. Come on, Kirk.
Just own it.
Level set.
Own it.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. If you want to get in the mud, get in the mud, dude. It's dirty over here, but get in the mud. All right. Sorry, I had to get that off my chest.
Hey, I'm glad you brought it up.
Thank you. All right, let's pivot to the semifinal games. We'll give a quick rundown and preview of them. Before we do that, though, got to remind you this episode of Punt and Pass presented by our awesome partners over at Solomon Brothers. Check them out on social media at Solomon Brothers on X and Instagram. Go to SolomonBrothers.com. You can see everything that they have available in their stores over there. Go into the stores. I promise you, that's what you need to do. Three locations for you. 17th floor Tower Place in Buckhead, just past the Avalon in Alpharetta, and down south of the city in their brand new location in Sharpsburg. When you're in store, tell them Punt and Pass sent you. You can get up to 20% off your jewelry purchase. The in-store experience is unmatched. The staff is top notch. They will help you regardless of your budget. You will be walking out of there extremely happy. And of course, the diamond and jewelry selection is the best in Atlanta. Major shout out to Solomon Brothers. SolomonBrothers.com, the only jewelry store you need in Atlanta.
Some of the best lessons don't come from a classroom. They come from experience. On The Power of Advice, a new podcast series from Capital Group, you'll hear from CEOs, investors, and founders about how they built careers, took risks, and reinvented themselves. If you're starting your own journey, this is the kind of advice you won't want to miss. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Published by Capital Client Group, Inc.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Casino.
Let's head on to the Orange Bowl. The Capital One Orange Bowl kickoff is Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. on ESPN. It is a clash of Northern teams. 7-seed Notre Dame taking on 6-seed Penn State. Right now, Notre Dame, a 1.5-point favorite. The total is 45.5 points. Some news out of South Bend, Jeremiah Love, their star running back. He's been practicing with a brace on. Some news out of Happy Valley, Abdul Carter, their stud defensive lineman. He's questionable. I would assume he plays, Jake. But look, man, I think this is a burn the ships type game. It's a chance to get to the national title. You're going to see best on best. If you're dinged up, you're going to get a little cocktail into a vial and shoot that thing up. It's just what you do at this point of the season. I'm excited for this game. I think it's going to be a really good one.
I completely agree with you. I think this is the game of the week to me. I think both these teams are very evenly matched. I think it could go either way. I think if these teams, you know, played 100 times, I think it would go 50-50. I'm just torn because I want to say Penn State. I just don't know if I can trust James Franklin to win.
Yeah.
another important game. Like he's just kind of playing with house money. I feel like this is a go all in moment. Hey, we're all on red. And I'm nervous about it, man. But I want to say, my heart wants to say Penn State here. I just think they have more firepower. I think they've been tested more. They've played Ohio State already. They've played Oregon already. Arguably, you could say those two teams are you know, some of the best in the country, top five in the country. I don't know, man. I think Penn State is right there. They're so close. Notre Dame, you know, they beat Georgia, and I think it was good. I just don't know if it's good enough right now. I really don't. I think they're well coached. I think they did the little things. Can they do it again? I think they need a better game out of Riley Leonard. They need to get the run passing game going a little bit more. Yes. Passing, definitely, for sure. You know, Riley Leonard was the leading rusher in that game against Georgia as well. So they're not showing me enough firepower offensively to keep up with Penn State. And if Penn State's edge rusher, Abdul Carter, if he plays in this football game,
he's a beast.
That is a big piece in the pie as far as giving a lot of favorability to Penn State in this game.
Notre Dame only had 90 passing yards against Georgia. They had 244 total yards of offense against the Dogs. Of course, defense and special teams totally took that game over. Opportunistic turnovers, a kickoff return for a touchdown, the great substitution on a punt that, of course, got Georgia to jump off sides, extended a drive. They grind out the clock for 7 minutes. I mean, they did exactly what they needed to do in absence of an explosive offense to knock off Georgia. You know, they handled Indiana. Indiana had two garbage time touchdowns to bring that game within 10 points. I mean, it was 27-3 late in the fourth quarter of that game. I'm a little worried with Jeremiah Love being in that brace. It is a big brace. I saw some clips from their practice. I'm surprised they even had him out there in practice for cameras to get their eyes on him. But Penn State's beaten up on two of the easiest teams in the college football playoff. I mean, SMU in week one, totally outmatched. Give Penn State's defense credit. I mean, they had three interceptions and two pick sixes right off the bat. And then Boise State, Penn State kind of outclassed them as well. They rolled their helmets out on the field and said, you want to play big boy ball? Let's see what you got. A matchup that I'm really interested in is off the field. Al Golden, Notre Dame's defensive coordinator, who flexed his muscles big time against Georgia, against Andy Kotelnicki, Penn State's offensive coordinator. That's going to be a fascinating matchup. Notre Dame's defense against Georgia, heavy, eight guys, seven guys in the box, getting downfield, violent, like attacking the pocket for sure, collapsing it. Of course, you knew they were going to try to get Gunnar Stockton to throw the ball as much as they could. They shut down Georgia's run game. And Penn State relies heavily on their run game with Nicholas Singleton and Katron Allen. Drew Aller stepped his game up. There's no doubt about that. This tight end, Tyler Warren, I mean, I'm looking at his stats on the season. 1,100 yards, eight touchdowns, 98 receptions for a tight end. Dude, that is Brock Bowers-esque. So expect a heavy dose of Tyler Warren. I think Penn State might try to get a little too cute here. I love Notre Dame's offensive line as well. I feel like Notre Dame is the public side. You know how much I hate going with the public. But Marcus Freeman, there's just something special going on in Notre Dame. I don't know if it lasts to a national championship, but I think Notre Dame wins this game. I'll lay the 1.5 with Notre Dame. I think this is a step up in class for Penn State. Notre Dame's battle tested throughout the playoffs so far. I'll take the Irish.
Yeah, I get your popcorn ready because I think this is the game to watch. You got Notre Dame in this one. Give me Penn State in this one. I'm going to rock a little We Are in this one. I think they pull it off, man. You know, my heart is in it 100%. My brain, it's kind of at that 70, 75. So maybe by the time, you know, game time and kickoff rolls around, I would have talked myself into it by then. But for now, that's where I'm at. Give me Penn State.
Are we selling Penn State's offense a little short? I mean, Drew Aller over 3,000 yards passing, 24 touchdowns, just seven interceptions. Two 1,000-yard rushers, Katron Allen over 1,000 yards, Nicholas Singleton over 1,000 yards, Singleton, nine rushing touchdowns, Allen, eight rushing touchdowns. Drew Aller, the quarterback, has six rushing touchdowns. Two other guys have four rushing touchdowns, including the tight end Tyler Warren. I gave you Warren stats. I mean, they've got a lot of studs out there. It's going to be a great matchup, that Notre Dame defense against that Penn State offense. But, you know, look, if Notre Dame's able to win special teams and force some turnovers, the Irish will win the game.
Yeah, I think if it's a shootout, I would definitely give the upper leg to Penn State in this one.
For sure.
You know, if it's a nitty-gritty game, Notre Dame. But, man, like you said, they got two great running backs there at Penn State. Tyler Warren, phenomenal tight end. I think they can play big as well and get a little dual threat action from Drew Aller as well. So, man, just don't count Penn State out. That's all I'm saying.
Don't count Penn State out. We're on opposite sides there. Fromm likes the Nittany Lions. We are, and I'm rolling with Marcus Freeman and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Okay, let's turn our attention to Friday night. It is the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic in Arlington. It's at Jerry's World. Two of the biggest blue bloods in all of college football. The top two athletic budgets in the entire country. 8-seed Ohio State taking on 5-seed Texas, a Big Ten SEC matchup. Right now, Ohio State, a 5.5-point favorite. The total, 53.5 points. And I must remind you, the game is in Dallas. Dallas, Texas is supposed to get over a foot of snow, some ice accumulation as well. Could potentially be a logistical nightmare for fans getting in, for Ohio State getting there, for media members getting there. That adds a wrinkle to this game. Texas is right down the road. This is a home game essentially for them. Obviously, Dallas is littered with Texas fans. I saw that ticket prices, Jake, are tumbling. I mean, You'll be able to walk into this game because of the weather threat. But this right here, I mean, Ohio State's offense, they look like the most dominant team in college football by far since the playoffs have started. And Texas kind of up and down. But when I say up and down, I mean down, not playing to their potential, because they've got just as much talent as anybody in the country.
Yeah, I think, like you said about the budget, I mean, both of these teams are as talented as you're going to find in college football. With the way I feel, I've seen Ohio State the last 2 weeks play some dang good football, man. And they are hot. There's not a hotter team in college football right now. They got rolling against Tennessee. Man, they started off hot, on fire against Oregon. And you take Texas, for example, man, I've watched Texas football this year, and they haven't put it together for four quarters, man. And for me to sit here and think logically that they're just going to magically find a way to play a good four quarters of football against the hottest team in college football, I'm just not buying it. I think it's going to be good. I think there's going to be some ebbs and flows in this game. But I think at the end of the day, man, I think Ohio State is going to dog walk Texas here late in the fourth quarter and really pull away. Dude, this Ohio State football team is for real. They got dudes. Their quarterback, Will Howard, is playing very well. And they kind of have a kind of us versus everybody attitude, man. After they lost to Michigan, everybody wrote them off. There's no way you're going to do it. Oh, hey, yeah, you beat Tennessee, but we kind of still want to fire Ryan Day. They go and they tear up Oregon. You're like, well, you know, you got revenge on that game. You know, that was expected. Man, they go and they go blast Texas in the state of Texas.
Watch out. All right. Jeremiah Smith and Emeka Egbuka. We talked about it on the last podcast. Chip Kelly finally woke up, said, let's start throwing the ball around. In the first two playoff games, 443 total yards between the two, 5 receiving touchdowns. Will Howard has found his groove. And the Buckeyes defense is legit. I mean, I think they sacked Dylan Gabriel for Oregon 8 times in the Rose Bowl. How are they going to get after Quinn Ewers? I just think there might be some recency bias in this number. Ohio State's looked so good. Texas, of course, squeaked out the double overtime victory over Arizona State. Could Ohio State get a little too cute? And when I say that, I mean Texas has got some dudes in the defensive backfield. A Jim Thorpe Award winner, some All-Americans at the safety position as well. Their rushing defense is a little bit lower ranked, kind of around 60th in the nation. Could Ohio State try to run the ball, which of course got them in major trouble against Michigan, or will they go out there and sling it around? I don't know. Can you trust Ryan Day in the big games? Ohio State is 1-5 against the spread on neutral fields as a favorite under Ryan Day. That's exactly what they are in this spot. And they do have a common opponent. It's those Michigan Wolverines. Texas went up to Ann Arbor and slammed them earlier on in the season. Of course, Ohio State lost to them last game of the regular season. I say all that to say this. I think the weather is going to have a big factor on a lot of the outside things besides what happens in between the lines. I think Texas is going to have a great home field advantage with the crowd as well. Give me 6 points. I think Ohio State wins by a field goal, but I'll take Texas plus 6 points for sure.
Yeah, I can't even believe I'm about to say what I'm about to say. But they're kind of reminding me of 2019 LSU. Now, I don't think Will Howard is Joe Burrow.
Of course.
But these two receivers now, the way they're throwing these guys the ball, man, they are taking over games like Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson right now. Man, then watch out. They can be explosive. They can take the top off, do whatever you need to do with the ball in their hands. I just think it's just going to be a matchup nightmare for Texas defense. Georgia had a ton of success throwing against Texas defense in the two times they played them. So we know that's a weak spot for Texas on defense. I don't know, man. I think this is going to be a big win for Ohio State football.
Yeah, it's going to be an awesome game for sure. Big win, says Jake Fromm. I say close game. I think it will live up to the expectations. Again, I think that line's crazy that Ohio State's laying 5.5 to Texas. Steve Sarkisian, a great play caller. There's just going to be a lot of top-tier football talent, not only on the field, but on the coaching side as well. So give me the 5.5. I think it'll be a great game. And, of course, we're supposed to get potentially 6 to 8 inches of snow here in Atlanta on Friday too. So I bet I'll be playing with the kids all day. And then as there's still a bunch of white stuff on the ground, settle in for that game, that Cotton Bowl game on Friday night.
Yeah, man, that'd be cool. I'm actually flying down this weekend, you know, because of our one seed, get to have the weekend off. Man, I'm leaving Detroit weather. It's 15 degrees outside, and I'm coming back down south
to get more snow.
Yeah, to get more snow. So just can't escape it right now. That's okay, man. We're locked in. Playoffs, Super Bowl, winter time. We'll get it done.
Let's go. I mean, my Apple weather app right now says 7 to 9 inches.
Where at?
In Johns Creek, where I'm at. Yeah.
Wow.
So giddy up.
That's crazy.
You're not used to that. Yeah, I know. So it will be a fun Friday for sure. I'm assuming the kids will be out of school. Well, that's it for this episode of Punt and Pass. Again, major shout out to our presenting partner, Solomon Brothers, at Solomon Brothers on social media, solomonbrothers.com. Head on in to one of their three amazing locations, 17th floor Tower Place in Buckhead, just past the Avalon and Alpharetta, and a brand new location in Sharpsburg. When you're in store and you're making a jewelry purchase, mention Punt and Pass, you can get up to 20% off. We love Solomon Brothers, no doubt about that. Follow us on social media. We are at Punt and Pass on X and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at From Jake. Puntandpass.com. Jake, anything on the way out, my man?
No, man. Can't wait to watch these games. Stay safe this weekend. If you are getting some snow, and man, enjoy it. It's going to be fun.
Absolutely. All right, that does it for us. Everybody have a great weekend, a safe weekend. Enjoy the college football playoff semifinal games, and we will talk to you next week. See ya.
We out.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.